Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, kids, this is Gons, better known as John Patrick Robbins, and welcome to a very special episode of Off the Wagon, where we are going to invite my guest, an incredible author, poet, and he's got a new novel out, first novel out. Let's welcome Stephen Story. Stephen, are you there?
I am. Hello.
Hey, brother, how are you, man? It's an honor to have
good,
you
man.
Here.
Thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. Just can't believe we actually talked you into being on the show, especially if you heard any of the episodes.
I have, yeah. Well, thank you for asking me. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, man. So the you've got a new novel out with Alien Buddha Press, man. You want to tell us about that?
That's right, yeah. So it's a short novel. It's the first one that I've released. I've done a lot of, like you say, a lot of poetry and stuff like that. So this is the first extended prose that I've done. I think it was actually Jay, I think, asked me to do it. And I just said, well, yeah, I've got something lying around. And it's basically, I don't know how to really sum it up. It's a book about, I suppose, transformation. There's a lot of drinking and a lot of women and a lot of drugs.
Well, it sounds like my kind of novel, man.
Yeah.
Did you really find it hard to transition from doing, I mean, your poetry tells a story anyways, man. So was it hard to transition to go from, you know, doing the poetry thing to writing the novel, or was it just natural?
No, to be honest, I started off, all the stuff that I started off writing was kind of prose stuff, and the poetry, honestly, if you ask me now, I don't know where it came from. It came in about a 2-month burst where it was just pouring out me one after the other about 2 years ago. And then it stopped. I started writing prose again, so it's kind of funny the way it worked out. The poetry books came out first, and I kind of got tagged as a poet, but really, I think of myself probably more as a prose writer. Really, that's what I've predominantly done. It's just the way it's worked out. The poetry came out first, I think. So I'm going to try and get as many prose books out as I can now. But it's all writing to me. I don't really try and make too many distinctions. Either it's good or it's shit. The other labels don't really matter to me.
Well, you definitely, man, nothing you write is shit. I mean, I have to say, man, everybody out there, I mean, you fucking blow me away, man, with your writing. Just fall to the wall and kick ass, man. You really are.
Well, it means a lot, like I said, coming from you, because I like a lot of the stuff you do. And those are the only opinions that matter to me. The people that I like, if they like it, then that's cool by me.
Well, man, isn't so. I mean, how did you really? What really drew you to the page, man? What got you on writing? Because you just reading just like a biography of you, just from little short ones I could find and stuff like that. I mean, you've done a lot of different things, man.
Yeah.
So what really got
well,
you into writing, man?
Yeah. Well, all the different things I did, I was rubbish at them all. Couldn't play sports. Wasn't good with girls. Writing was the only thing that I was really, really good at. Writing and telling lies. So they both went together pretty well, I think. And I've just done it since I was little. Reading and writing both came really early to me. And I've just kind of tried to work at it down the years, and it's starting to pay off now. But I've kind of questioned where it's come from, and I can't figure it out because nobody else in my family really had that in them. Nobody really read, certainly nobody wrote. So I don't know. It's just touched by genius, I guess, at some point.
Well, man, it's fucking natural, man. And you're definitely an incredible read, man. And I've read a lot of your work. I think, like, the first time that I really read anything yours was the one I read over at HST. Once was
right, yeah.
The Slowest Drink at the Saddest Bar, man. That is a fucking
right.
Incredible write, man.
Well, thank you very much. I do, actually. That's cool that you mentioned that, because that's the first thing that I ever submitted to anybody. And I sent it to Ben, and thankfully he accepted it, which I'll always be grateful to him for that, because if he'd have said, no, this is shit, you know what I mean, I might have turtled up at that point and thought, well, maybe I'm not cut out for it, but he accepted it, and I kind of never looked back from there. And I love HST, I think it's a great website, and I've read some of your stuff on there as well. But yeah, I'm massively indebted to Ben for publishing that piece. It just kept going up and up after that. But I do, when I read that back, that's one of the pieces that I do quite like when I read back. So I'm glad you dig it too.
Oh, yeah, man, that was one of my absolute, I mean, it's just, like I said, that's the first time I read your work. And I was like, God, Jesus, man. I was like, it just hit, man. It's the kind of style I like. I mean, I just kind of gravitate towards that naturally. And I was like, it just fucking floored me, man. It was absolutely incredible, right? It really was.
I changed the title. I kind of regret it now. It's in the short story collection, 4 PM in Los Angeles. That story is in there. I think it might be the first one. But I changed the title because I stole the title from a song by a band called The Lawrence Arms. And I thought, I'm not going to make that much money off of this to be paying money out if I get sued by some band in Chicago. So I changed the title, but it is pretty good. I do like that one, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, it was great, man. I was, you know, it's funny you mentioned that's the first thing you submitted. I was going to ask, when did you really start sending in for publication?
That was the first one. I mean, I've been writing for years, and I don't know. It was kind of a mixture of having the guts to do it, but I was also determined not to do it until it was at a standard that I was happy with. I didn't want to just submit it for the sake of it. People kept saying, when are you going to send stuff out? When are you going to send stuff out? And I was like, well, when it's ready. And I think I sent that out in the beginning of 2015, maybe. And it was published probably in March of that year, so about 3 years ago. And that was the first thing that I sent out. And then I just, obviously, you get the confidence once somebody says yes to just start sending shit everywhere. And that's what I did. Basically, after Ben said yes to that, I just went for it. And it's culminated in all this, which is it's going really good at the minute.
Yes, you just, man, that's incredible, man, really, to just kind of, you know damn well, instead of just, like, sending a bunch of shit off, you waited till it was perfected, and that's definitely a lot of writers, especially younger writers, can learn from that, I think, because I know I sent off a shit ton of crap.
A lot of writers can learn from that, because some of it, as we've said before, is just fucking appalling, isn't it? Some of the people, as soon as they write it, they send it out, and it gets published, and some of it is abysmal. Not everyone can be as great as me and you, so we shouldn't be too hard on
that. Great as you. I don't put great and attach that to my name because I'm a hack at best, man. But I mean, you know, I'm happy with what I do. At least, you know, if it pleases yourself.
Well, there's an honesty in what you do, which I hope resonates in what I do too. And that's more important than any technical ability ever will be to me. If it's coming from someone's gut and you can tell it the meaning, then 90% of the time I think it's gonna be pretty good.
You definitely have to live it, man. And I can tell from what I assume, reading your work, you've lived it, man. You've definitely lived life. And I think that's the number one thing, is definitely gain some fucking experience. I kind of, you know, some of the stuff I read sometimes that just from kids that they kind of, you know, don't guess it, live it first. I think that would be the number one thing, man.
Definitely.
So,
I think you can tell, Tanya. You can tell straight away whether someone's telling the truth or not, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely, man. Well, I mean, I didn't hear you there.
No, yeah. I was going to say, that's one of the other things we talked about, though, isn't it? Is other writers and not really wanting to talk to them because they're fucking boring. Most of them are, and they're like planks. They really are. They're like dildos with teeth, a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
you've got to have something about you. I mean, if you've got nothing to say, then there's no point writing, I don't think. You've got to have done something.
No, I remember, God, I first tried to submit for publication, and I think I got my first thing ever once it's, like, in a nowhere place, and I hope people never find it, was in 2005. And I just realized, you know, it was just shit, you know? It was just pure crap, you know? And I stepped away from it. And because I just didn't want to settle for, you know, mediocrity. You know, it's very easy to kind of get in that thing. You think, well, you know, I got this published here. I'll try to kind of produce the same thing over and over and over again. And I'm like, no. Because at least now I know if I do get rejected, it's, you know, because I you know, doing what I want to do, or get accepted, I mean, is, you know.
That's quite admirable, isn't it? Because you could continue going down the same route, but if you don't believe in it, then you're kind of conning yourself, really. So it's cool that you stepped away from it. And I mean, I know a writer we both like, Bukowski, I think he took about 10 years off, didn't he, something like that, from writing. Between initially getting published and actually, like, written magazines and stuff, I think he took 10 years to write Post Office before he came out with that.
So
if you've got nothing to say, if the well's dry, then you just wait for it to fill back up again, I think.
Well, I don't think, you know what, I don't see how any writer cannot give credit, or any poet out there cannot give credit to Bukowski. I mean, you know, I mean, Jesus, I know that I followed, you could even say I'm a hack when it comes to that, because I love his style. But it's just real. It's like you said, you know when something's real, and when somebody's kind of just, you know, dialing it in. And I can't, that's definitely the kind of stuff I can't stand.
Yeah.
I'm with, you know, it, no matter what it is, if it's 100% you to me, it can't, it's never bad. It's always, you know. And that's what I get from your work, man. It's just 100%.
Wow.
It's not bullshit. And, you know.
Thank you.
Oh, well, I mean, like I said, man, I'm a huge fan. That's the truth.
Yeah, well, that's like the Bukowski thing. It's kind of, I think every review I've had just about mentions him. And I was starting to be a little bit like, fucking, like, I read other people too, do you know what I mean? But then I thought, well, hang on. 5 years ago, if you'd have said someone was going to compare your work to Charles Bukowski, you'd have been fucking blown away. So now I think, well, that's fucking amazing. If someone thinks that I'm even a tenth similar to him or as good as him, then I'll take that, absolutely.
Oh, man, I mean, just like the writer mentioned of HSC, that to me is like in the same exact same vein, man. It's the truth. It's not, with you and your work, it's not imitation, it's just natural, man, and it flows and it works and it's real. And that's what I was drawn to. And I'm always drawn to that when I read work. It's just,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's what I try to be myself. Sometimes maybe I miss the mark, but
well,
you know,
well,
we all do sometimes.
That comes through. I mean, it definitely comes through in your work as well. But you can tell when I've got another short story in that collection, 4 p.m. in Los Angeles, called Everybody Thinks of Charles Bukowski. And it's kind of, I was reading a lot of people at the time that just thought, if you say fuck enough times in a short story, throwing some dirty women and enough references to alcohol would make you Charles Bukowski. And it's kind of like, there's more to it than that. You know what I mean? It's not just about, oh, I was in a bar, I had a fight, I fucked this girl, I'm hungover. You know, writing's still a craft. You still have to kind of work at it. You can't just drop in all the references that you think are pertinent and that makes you Charles Bukowski. I mean, he worked hard.
Yeah.
What he did. I mean, he was 40 or something, wasn't he? 40 odd before he got published.
He took a long time, but, you know, then again, you know, he didn't just try to, he was smitten for a long time and then he just walked away once it was really admirable. Because,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, he writes about that. Very easy to find for anybody out there who hasn't for some reason heard of Bukowski. Then there's something wrong with, if you're listening to this show, there's something wrong with you if you don't know that name.
Definitely. Yeah. Well,
you know.
I would give that's some of the advice that I would give to a lot of writers out there is fucking walk away. Do us all a favor and walk away. Leave it to the good ones.
Yeah, there's some people out there. I hate to say it, there's some people out there with bestsellers that I wish would go into retirement, you know, but
yeah.
And if they're not willing
to go voluntarily, then we'll put them into early retirement one way or the other, because it needs to be done.
How do you feel, man, about the current state of poetry and stuff? Do you really think it's looking up, or is
good.
It sad?
Yeah, there's loads of good people out there. Me, you, how modest am I? Me, you, Ryan, Quinn Flanagan.
Yeah.
It's cool. Ben John Smith, who we mentioned, who runs HST, is a fucking great poet. And I don't know whether he's doing anything right now. I know he's taking a year off social media and stuff like that. I don't know if he's writing, but some of his stuff just floors me. I think he's great. But it's healthy, I think, that the current state, I think there's loads of good writers out there right now. It's just obviously getting the exposure, getting the names out there, but the talent is definitely out there.
Oh, yeah. I think and nowadays it is, well, it's becoming more readily available. One good thing about the internet, I'm not the most crazy social media person, but you have to use it, and it can work to your advantage. But it's funny you mentioned Ben, because he gave me my break once I was grateful for it, because he's just, to me, another balls-to-the-wall writer that I would just love to have on there. But, like, you know, he's taken a break for, like, a year or so.
Yeah.
And, of course, I mean, there's so many great writers. Like, HST, you can literally go, and some of the best writers are there.
Definitely.
And It's incredible, because, like I said, it's where I found you. I mean, the first time I read your work, Ryan, who runs
TVs
everywhere.
Yeah.
He kicks major ass.
He doesn't stop. He doesn't slow down for anything, does he? I admire that about him.
No, well, you can. But with time you're sleeping, Ryan's probably publishing like five things.
Yeah, yeah. He's dead and dusty, isn't he? He makes me feel pretty lazy, actually.
God, he makes, you know. And it's I couldn't believe he was taking a break today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I saw that. I think he's going to Las Vegas or something, isn't he? Where he'll probably just sit in his bedroom for a week and write.
He just basically just sits around to kick people's ass, and he doesn't even try.
Yeah.
It's like, because he should just even ask him. He's a great guy.
He doesn't drop off, does he? The quality of his writing is pretty consistent. He writes and writes and writes, and it's never shit, or he never runs out. He just seems to have an endless well of stuff to write about.
I know,
man. I mean, I don't know how he does that. I mean, I was sat there watching baseball earlier, and I thought, I'm going to have to write something.
Yeah, he's incredible. And he's the nicest person, is what cracks me up.
Yeah.
He really is. And I mean, I don't know him like that, but I mean, he's been nice. I mean, even you, man, when I started I don't have hardly anything out compared to you both. I mean, you've got a ton of books. And of course, the other book, which I absolutely love, the one you got on Weasel Press, Sincerely Axl Rhodes, man. That is a fucking incredible book, and that title.
Yeah.
I was like, how'd you get away with that title, by the way?
I don't know if I have yet. He hasn't rang yet. But there's always time, I suppose, isn't there? I'm sure he's got other things to do. But if he wants
he's
to
so
sue
crazy.
Me,
I wouldn't be surprised if he rang you up, you know?
Yeah, I
think it's kind of the whole joke of it.
I hope so. I mean, I was going to actually print my phone number in the book in case he did want to get in touch. But I thought probably everybody else, except Axl Rose, would probably ring it, so I didn't bother.
Yeah, I don't know if that would be a good idea, man, especially with the readership you have. I don't know if you want to.
Yeah,
I would publish my number.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, nobody would call it.
No, yeah, but if he wants to sue me for the 10 pence that I've got, then he's more than welcome to try and do that. And he's about 65, so I think I could take him if it came to it.
Yeah, I think, I really wouldn't worry about him. I don't think he's quite as crazy as he used to be. You know, once I admire anybody who has the balls to be themselves. You know, it's one thing you have to say about him.
I mean, I love Axl. I love Axl Rose. If you listen to Axl, I do like it. Don't sue me.
I like him too, so I don't, and I'm not a violent person, so. And I have no money, so I don't really care. He can sue me.
Yeah.
I'd have to get some money to give him money.
Yeah. But no, he is cool, Axl.
Oh, yeah, man. I just thought it was the most awesome title, man. That's why I wrote you and asked you about it,
right,
where it came from. Because it was just, it's like sometimes, man, you know, some people come out with a title that you're like, man, like you creatively kick ass. Like, I think I can write something and I'll read your work and I think, shit.
Well, I appreciate it, but I don't know. I wouldn't be so hard on yourself because, I think your stuff's cool. And if you think mine's cool, then we both must be doing something right, I guess. But the title, I don't know where, I'm not sure where it came from. I think I'd said to you before, I was reading a biography of his, and it was going on about how nuts he is and stuff like that. And I kind of just imagined, I think it said he'd wrote a letter to somebody about something, and I thought, well, imagine Axl Rose writing a letter, and, you know, everyone thinks he's so fake and he's wild and all this. And imagine him signing a letter off with "yours sincerely." Like, how preposterous. I don't think anybody ever thought Axl was sincere about anything because he was such a nut. But I don't know, the title just came to me like lightning. It was just there. I don't know where it came from. It's one of those things where I think a lot of people talk about, I think words can be in the air sometimes and they're just there. You know, you're a conjurer.
Yeah.
You put them out of the air and put them onto the page. And I honestly think that's where that title came from, that it was just floating on the breeze, and I just, not to sound too hippie-ish about it, but I just reached up and grabbed it and put it down.
Yeah, well, you literally grabbed the title out of the air. That was fucking kick-ass, man. If you're going to grab the title, that's one of the best, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I do appreciate it, because it's, the book's quite nostalgic. And it's probably one of the most personal things that I've written, some of the stuff in there. So I'm glad people like it, and I'm glad people did the title.
Yeah, definitely.
I must say as well, the publishers, Weasel Press, did a great job with the cover. I do love the cover of the book as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so that was them completely. I didn't know if... I mean, do you have...
Well,
I don't know how it works.
Well, I picked the image, because again, I just had the idea for the image, but I didn't know if it was going to work. They made it work. It looks great, and it does. It is Axl Rose's back. So if he wants to sue, then I probably have forgotten.
Yeah, that's. I couldn't believe when I saw the cover because I thought, man, that is. You talk about just a balls to the wall rock and roll cover, man. I thought, wow.
Yeah.
Because that was, you know, and Weasel Press, of course, people should buy it. They can get it so many places, right? You can get it on Amazon.
Yeah.
You probably want to plug
a
couple of those.
The website, yeah. So, you know, please buy the book because I'm going to need the funds when Axl sues me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
If
you're a fan of Steven, we got to give him money so we can give it back.
Yeah, legal aid. Yeah, exactly. It's going to go straight to the court.
I mean, Axl's really rich, but he might need it. You never know.
Yeah.
Good thing he didn't title anything about Metallica. He'd be in real trouble.
Yeah. I'm sure Lars would have been on the phone by now.
No, Lars would get you. I have no, no doubt about that. You know, because he might have millions of dollars, but he needs his 99 cents for Seek and Destroy.
he really would. But, you know, Lars is 5 foot, isn't he? So I don't really care about him. If you send James around, that might be different because James is a big guy. Lars, no problem. If you're listening, Lars, I do like Metallica.
Yeah, man, I mean, that always cracks me up. Is a band at one time that, I might be wrong, so whatever, music people can get on my ass about this, but at one time encouraged people to come and record their shows and bootleg them when they were really getting going, before they were, is going to get all up in arms, because anybody knows, music business, you're not making money, that much money off the albums. You're making money off of those live performances once they sell out.
Exactly,
and they're really going to be that trivial about people sharing their music.
Well,
you know?
The ironic thing about that is if you listen to the last couple of Metallica albums, I'm sure they're fucking begging people to download it now.
Oh, yeah.
Not many people are flocking to buy those albums.
I love how we probably won't piss off Axl Rose, but then literally Lars will sue the show. That's fine. I have no money.
Who else? What other aging rock stars can we piss off, I wonder? I don't know.
Yeah, you'll give me notoriety. It's like, wow, people might actually know my name for 2 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
they know yours.
Yeah, I wonder what Dave Lee Roth's doing now. No, we'll leave Dave. Dave's all right.
Fucking nuts, man. So when you got published with HST, man, how long did it take you from doing that to get the first book out?
So that would have been March 2015. The first book that got accepted, it wasn't actually the first one that came out. The first book that got accepted was the short story collection, 4 PM in Los Angeles. And that would have been, it was in early June of 2016. So it was just over a year from sending the first short story out to HST to get the green light on the short story collection. And then the others came quite quick after that. I think it was a month later that the first book that actually came out got accepted, which was the Poetry Collection, Working with a Negative. That was that actually came out in November 2016. So it was about a year and a half from sending the first story to HST to having a book on the shelves, as it were.
God, man, that's incredible. I mean, that probably gives a lot of writers, like especially any younger writers, I do hope we get some listeners. Don't listen to the other shows. Listen to this one. The only serious one I've ever done. But it probably gives them kind of, I would think a little bit, because you had incredible ability. So when you come out, you're kicking ass and you're swinging from the fences, I should say. But, I mean, that is just, to me, it's incredible that you came out that quickly and then got a book out, and that's just amazing. But you deserve it, man, because you do.
Well,
like I said, you do kick major ass.
Thank you very much. I mean, that's the one thing I would say is if you don't swing if you don't swing your bat, you're not going to hit the ball. And I spent a lot of time where I wasn't sending stuff out, and I thought, you know, if you don't do it, then it's not going to happen. No one's going to come and knock on your door and ask
that's
you to publish it if you don't get yourself out there. So that would be the thing that I said that I would say to young writers that are not rubbish. You know, the rubbish ones, leave it alone. The good ones, send stuff out and just try, you know, don't give up. And I think you mentioned something in a poem, I think a piece that you just got published, called
yeah.
Leave It to the Right, where you say opinions are just that. And that's exactly true.
Yeah.
If someone says, if someone turns your story or your poem or your book down, it's not because it's shit. It might be shit, but it's not always because it's shit. You know, it's not right for them, or it's not right for them at that time, and it's just an opinion. So I think any young writer's just got to be brave enough to try it and not be, you know, scared of rejection. That's the biggest advice I can give anyone, is just go for it. What have you got to lose?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but you know, I mean, you know, talking about that, man, I think there is truth. I think the really good writers, this is the truth, not the shit one. The good writers, if they could get the confidence of the shit writers, would be a very good thing. Because there are so many people I know that, you know, fucking, they fear, I don't know what it is. But, I mean, I walked away for a long time because it was just, it wasn't anything distinctive, and I knew it wasn't, you know. But then I had some crap happen to me in my life that I just figured, what the fuck? I'm going to go for it, you know, why not, you know. I didn't have anything to lose. And you just have to kind of abandon fear of, you know, because that's part of it. So definitely, I mean, well, this is probably a redundant question. I'm going to ask it anyways, man. I'm not a good interviewer. what would be your advice?
You're doing pretty well considering, and I've gotten sued by two major rock stars so far. I think you're doing a better job than me.
I think you, well, no, you're, yeah, that's true. Well, I think Lars gets both. Because I mentioned him, and I probably took some bad facts about him. So, but like you said, he's like a dwarf. I'm not really scared of him. But I'll get in trouble for that one, too.
Yeah.
But really, man, what would be your advice to new writers and stuff when it comes to rejection and everything? Because a lot of them really, you know, some people take it, like, you know, they get one and that's
kind
it.
That's one of the things that people have asked me. Because, I mean, it sounds pretentious, but I never got turned down. The first thing that I submitted to HST got accepted, and then the first manuscript I submitted to a publisher got accepted. But in terms of the rejection, I think, like we said, you've got to kind of live first. And I think if you live first, then what happens is you lose that preciousness that you have about your writing and your protectiveness. You suddenly realise, you know what, there's a lot worse things than having a manuscript turned down in life. It's not the end of the world. If that happens to you, you paddle up and you go again. And it's just, that's all I would say, is just lose that preciousness about it. You know, it's cool to get published, and it's shit if you get turned down, but, you know, you're still alive the next day, either way. Just keep going. That's the best advice I think I'd give anyone, is just, you know, keep swinging.
Definitely,
and
man.
Read a lot of books. Read a lot of books.
Yes. Learn your craft is what I
absolutely
tell most. There's, I mean, I don't know, man. Because, like, I, for a long time, I'm not going to say wasted my time, but I just kind of, like, I took rights that now, I mean, I send them out to publication, and I was just putting them up, you know, on different websites and whatnot. And you run into a lot of kids who've got a huge ego and know nothing about what they're doing. They don't know any of the people that kind of paved the road. I mean, that's sad. I mean, yeah, most kids know Bukowski, but you ask them about anybody else, and unfortunately, it's great to know Bukowski, but there's so many people. You know, you got to get out of your own space and discover these people who are just, they're kicking ass, because everybody was inspired by somebody.
Absolutely.
You know, and
I mean,
you know.
I never understand that thing where someone's only kind of heard of one writer, because to me it's like pulling a thread. You know, you read Bukowski, who leads you to somebody else, who leads you to somebody else, who leads you to somebody else, and it keeps on going. That's kind of how I think of it. You know, if Bukowski mentions, I don't know, John Fante, for instance, you go, oh, wow, okay, and then you read him.
Yeah,
and he might mention somebody, and that's, you know, you just dig deeper into it. To have only read Bukowski and to not follow up on any of his references, it's weird to me. I mean, I'm kind of the same with music as well. If a band I like likes another band, then I check that band out, and that's how you discover, you know, more artists, more writers, and so on.
Yeah, definitely, man. Well, that ties into this, man. Who were your influences, really? You know, people really, really got you going, man, that you really just truly admire.
Writing. Some of the obvious ones from early on, obviously we've mentioned Bukowski, Jack Kerouac.
Yeah.
Hunter S. Thompson is another obvious one, I suppose. I love Hunter. For me, I've got an Ernest Hemingway tattoo, so Hemingway is huge for me. I love Hemingway. Albert Camus, the French writer, I love him. I think he's great. Yukio Mishima, a Japanese writer, is another great. Philip Roth, I like a lot of Philip Roth stuff. Irvin Welsh, another great writer who wrote Trainspotting. Scottish writer, I think he's great.
Mm-hmm.
All the beats, really, I suppose. William Burroughs, Ginsberg.
Oh, man, yeah.
I love all that stuff.
I think everybody should read the beats.
There's loads, really.
Because I know I was, like, when I read, I mean, like, to me, when I got into the beats, that would just, I don't know, that blew me away. Of course, like most people, I read the stereotypical stuff. I did read, of course, like you said, a lot of the same influences, actually. Hemingway. For me, also Richard Brautigan, who was
Brautigan's just fucking cool.
I just liked how fast the guy worked, you know, and just kind of just out there, and you know, and Burroughs, of course, and you know, all those guys. Just to me, they were just fucking wide open. They were outlaws, really. You know, that's the thing. I think we're losing kind of a little bit nowadays. People all kind of try to be, not offend anybody.
We've definitely done a good job of steering clear from that, haven't we? I think we've managed to offend enough people so far, so we've got that covered today. it's just very careerist, isn't it? It's kind of like, I don't know, they're just playing it really, really safe, and it's strange to me.
Yeah. It is, man.
Like we said, if you don't get out there in the world, then what have you got to write about?
Yeah, definitely, man. There's one thing I had to ask, man, because I looked when I was reading just little bios I've seen. I mean, you've had a ton of different jobs, and maybe I didn't know. I was just curious to ask, and I hope this is okay. But I was curious to ask. I noticed it said you were a choreographer.
Did
I read that wrong? That's right.
I
was wondering if you tell us about that one, because I was like, I couldn't believe that, man. I was like, God, you've done every damn thing.
it was when I was in Atlanta, and it lasted for about, I blagged my way into it by telling a lot of lies because I needed the money, and the job started about 9 o'clock in the morning. And I think I was fired by 12 o'clock that day because they realised that I was just full of shit. I didn't know what I was doing. And I can't dance. If you've ever seen me trying to dance, it's fucking ludicrous.
I just wondered, man. I mean, I'm not trying to be nosy, but I just thought that would be interesting to hear about, man. Like, anything, because it's scary. So they caught on quick.
Yeah. I don't know the names of any dancers. All I could was just do that bit that they do in Dirty Dancing. That was kind of my frame of choreography reference, and they were like, this guy's not the genuine article. he's not the choreographer he claimed to be. My dance career,
Great, man. That is great. See, that's the thing, man. The experience always, you know. I think the only thing I was ever good at was writing. Just everything I ever did, I was pretty much crap.
Yeah.
You know, besides being a DJ,
it was kind
good
of,
at that.
It got me into a room of 15 cheerleaders, and that was kind of good for me. Yeah, so. Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. That's not bad at all. Wow, I might try to start me in the career.
just applied. Just tell them I sent you.
No, they would get right away. They're like, wow. They would, you know, they'd be like, I don't think so, Meatloaf. I don't mean the food.
That's the same thing they said to me, funnily enough. That's weird. Yeah. You're not from the London Dance School of Drama. Absolutely not. How many dancers? Not that many.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I got rumbled within a half a day, so it wasn't too bad.
So, man, with all these books you got out, I mean, and they're all incredible. If you want to name some others, that's fine, man. Plug anything you want.
Yeah.
We've already pissed people off, so.
Yeah. Oh, I can spend all day doing that, believe me. If there's one anything that I'm good at other than writing, it's you know, pissing people off and slagging them off, as we say in England. My favorite pastime. But I think there's 5 books out now, so Working with the Negatives was the first one that came out.
Yeah.
Poetry, which I don't know. I can't obviously I've got a soft spot for that because it's the first one that came out. But there's a couple of really good poems in there that I like. Taking Back the Underground was the first full-length poetry collection, which is the one that's got the kid on the front with a balaclava and a gun. So that's probably the angriest one. That's in terms of pissing people off. I think I covered a lot of ground in there. But there's a really good poem that I like of mine, and I thought some of them are not that great, I'll be honest, but some of them I do. I kind of like to think that I'm honest in assessing my own stuff, and if I look back at something, I'll see if I don't think it's good, and if I look back at something, I'll see if I think it's good. And there's one in there called Punctured Lung, which is one of the better ones that I've written. And then the first one that got accepted is the third one that came out, which is a short story collection, which is 4 PM in Los Angeles, which has got the stories that we mentioned in earlier. It's got Slow Stick and Started Fast in there. On the different title now, though. And everybody thinks that Charles Bukowski is in there. So that's the first one that got accepted. So, again, I've got a bit of a soft spot for that because it was the first time I got that email to say we want to publish your book, which is a pretty amazing moment. And then the fourth one is Yours Sincerely, Axl Rose, which again is poetry, and it's the one that's going to get me sued, hopefully. the most recent one that we started with is the novella, The Northern Sunset, which I'm quite proud of that because it's the first short novel that's come out, and it's got some bits that I think I could have done better in, but it's got some bits that I'm quite proud of when I read back at it. So, yeah, that's my back catalogue so far, 5.
Yeah, and buy all of them, because they're all great books.
Yeah, buy all of them. Buy multiple copies of some of them, because...
Yeah, buy two.
Yeah, buy two.
Buy three or four. Give them away.
Yeah, exactly. buy gifts for all the family. Absolutely.
There you go. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a really great
one. Gorgeous pocket, probably. But
you're going to need it, man.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's 5 at the moment, and there's another short story collection I think possibly lined up for later this year, but I'm just waiting to see what happens with that. Yeah.
I mean, one thing I did want to ask you is, like, when you get done with a book, are you just kind of like, you want to go right on to the next one, or do you kind of,
Yeah.
You really?
I mean,
I didn't know if you had a time where you want to see how well it does, and then, you know, kind of, you know, I didn't know how you work. Are you like a write every day person? Because I don't believe in writing every day.
I don't believe in that. I've read so much stuff on different writers' processes.
Yeah.
I think the one that comes down to me, even though he's a musician, I like, it was Bob Dylan, who said, if you've got nothing to write, don't write, just leave it. Neil Young said that too. You know, he said, just if the creativity is not there, if the well runs dry, just go away and do something else until it comes back.
Exactly. I agree with you, man. I can't write every day. That's just not... I just kind of have to...
There's baseball and there's March Madness, and then before you know it, the NFL's back, and I haven't got time to write every day when all that's happening. And then there's real-life stuff. So...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've got... It is actually kind of finding the time, really, as well, between all the other things that are going on. It's not that writing comes third or fourth or fifth, but I don't know about you, but I can't sit and... If I have one spare hour in a day, I don't sit and write an hour, because it's kind of like just snatching at it here and there isn't good enough. If I want to sit and write, I need 3 or 4 hours clear to sit and properly have a good run at it. Do you know what I mean? If I've only got 1 hour in a day, there's no point writing in that hour, because you're not going to get... By the time you sit down and you ease into it and you get started, and you can't just get your stocking straight away, so it's kind of a waste of time, really. Unless you've got a good chunk of time, I don't really get started with it.
I mean, I have time, but my whole thing is just, you know, it's just like when it just starts with a title with me and kind of like an outline, and I'm not one of those things like, oh my God, I got to rush to the page or I'm going to lose it. Because I always say, if it's worth anything, you're not going to lose it. It's going to stay with you, you know. And that's how, at least it works for me, man. But I'm not that caliber, man. But I, you know, I try.
No, I think that's quite accurate. I mean, if it's really good, you're not going to forget it. I think I have probably lost some good titles and things like that, just not writing them down when I've been on the move. But generally, anything. I mean, I have kind of woken up at 4 a.m. and written something down, but it's very, very rare that I do that. It's generally, if something's good, you can carry it around in your back pocket for quite a while until you get time to sit down and write it. You don't lose too much, I don't think.
No. That's just, I think some people, like a friend, and I literally say friend, because I don't really know him like that, but he's just an awesome person, Ryan. I think Ryan is like a machine. He just writes 24 hours a day. I don't know how he does it. It's like, God, man, I wish I could take lessons from him, because then I would be prolific.
I think it's cool, like I said earlier, that his work rate doesn't drop off, but neither does the quality, whereas I think I kind of feel like if I wrote all day, every day, I'd probably start to get, I wouldn't say I'd get bored with it, but it's hard to imagine that you're on form all the time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when it strikes you and you really have to write it down, and that's kind of good stuff, and I can't imagine that I'd have that across 8 hours. I mean, even the people like Hemingway that I love, they'll only write 3 or 4 hours a day at the very, very most, go off and do something else with the rest of the day. I think
Hemingway had a lot of hobbies outside of writing.
Yeah.
Drinking is the main one.
Yeah. Drinking and womanizing and hunting. Thompson, I think he would write every day, would still only do 2 or 3 hours a day because he was, you know, he took a lot of drugs and watched a lot of sport.
I think
given the time, when I was writing the books that have come out, I had about 2 years where I probably wasn't doing that much but writing, and I would only spend about 3 hours, 4 hours a day writing, because you can kind of feel yourself hitting a wall, and you've just got to go away and do something else and come back to it the next day fresh, I think. Definitely with the books, once I'm done with one, it's out there and I'm on to the next one straight away. It's just... Some of them have been published quite close together, which wasn't really the intention. I would have kind of liked to let them breathe a little bit and see how they did and take a few months and then release the next one. But when the publisher said it's ready to go, I was like, well, you know, get it out there for me as well. No point sitting on it. So two of them have come quite quickly recently.
Well, you're prolific putting out books, man. I mean, you are, you know, I mean, that's to me, that's... eventually, obviously, where I want to take it, but I'm the slowest moving of any. I'm like the slug of writers. You're lucky if you get a write out a week by me, which is not always by my choosing. I need to get on the editors about that. I would have way more work out there, but you know, hey, the people that do focus on me, I thank them, man.
Do you do much editing?
I didn't... Yeah, pretty much.
So, do you spend a lot of time editing?
Do I spend a lot of time editing?
Yeah.
I think you can tell from my work I don't.
Well, from mine too, hopefully.
Oh, God, man, you're just fine. I'm one of those people that even if I don't catch something, it's not because I don't mean to. I just, when I finally do put it down the page, it sounds ridiculous to say this, but my mind kind of gets going so fast, a lot of times I'll miss shit. You know, because I finally got it. Because, like I said, I work it out all in my head first. I don't try to work it out on the page. I work it out in my head, at least where I want to go, you know, kind of the punchline or whatever. Because usually a lot of my stuff's humorous. Not always, but a lot of times. And that's kind of just, you know, that's how I like to work. But,
I think so. I mean, I think Neil Young's, talked about Neil Young, but Neil Young's producer, David Briggs, used to say, the more you think, the more you stink. And I think that's true. I think Neil Young used to get most of his songs in one or two takes. There was times where people would be, he'd have singers on his songs, and they'd be warming up the vocals, and he'd go, right, we've got it. And what they thought was them warming up was him putting it in the can and saying, no, it's done. You know, one or two takes, and that's it. That's the song. It's out there.
Yeah.
I think it's the same with writing. I think that the more you labour over it, the worse it gets, usually.
The more, it's like when you go, okay, when you're working on something, I mean, I don't know how you do it, but do you, if you get something, is it pretty much like the just there, done, or do you have to, do you constantly go back and work on something? I think it's a stupid thing for me to ask. I'm going to ask it anyway.
No. I don't know. Some of it is just come flowing out in one take. Some of it I have gone over and tweaked a couple of little things. But
yeah,
generally, I don't hang on to stuff for a long time. I mean, novel, I've got about 3 or 4 half-written novels, and obviously it's just a question of time to sit and finish them. But the poetry,
yeah,
especially, was almost all one take. I wrote it down, and the way it is in the books is generally the way it was when I wrote it down. I captured most of what I was going for, I think, first time. There's a couple of that I maybe tweaked a bit, the longer ones, but generally it was one and done, I think, most of them.
Definitely, man. So, man, for you, when you're writing, man, is there any particular thing you like to really get into? I mean, like me, I always got to have music. I'm a music freak, so, you know, music's
right,
always playing. I didn't know, I mean, what's part of your process, so to speak?
Yeah, I'll be the same. I think music while I'm writing, and if I am editing, then no music, just to read it over. Generally, lots of music, lots of loud music, fast, loud music, and lots of black coffee, yeah.
Okay. Probably take the whiskey and take the coffee. There you go. But,
yeah. I've tried doing that. I've tried writing really, really drunk. And it's like, this is fucking amazing. And when you wake up the next morning, it's like, what? It just says,
I have to agree, man. I'm not saying like get, I think people probably do get, because I joke so much, they get a misconception. No, writing plastered, sometimes I'll go back and look at it, and I feel like I need a decoder ring just to figure out what the hell I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
I'm like, I can't, it's bad when you can't even understand what the hell you're saying.
Yeah.
You wrote it,
yeah,
you know, that's fucking insane, but yeah, no.
I mean,
I think when you get
there's been times where I've been that drunk, I've been writing, I was like, fucking, this isn't just a good book, this is fucking biblical. It's like a new Bible, it's fucking, it ought to be a religion. I can see the fucking truth from here. And then, like, when you say, I've woke up and I've been like, it just says dog 7 times. doesn't mean anything. Like, what is this shit? So, if Hunter Thompson wrote what he wrote in the states that he claims to be in, then he's a fucking genius, because I don't know how he did it. I really don't.
Yeah. Do you buy into that? I always just thought it was just part of the joke, the act. There's no way. Like, I remember one time I watched on I think it was on a podcast, Joe Rogan's podcast, where they mentioned Hunter S. Thompson's drug routine. You know.
Oh, yeah, yes. I've seen that, yeah.
There's no way.
I have actually seen Joe Rogan's podcast where they go through what he took in a day. It's fucking unbelievable,
yeah,
isn't it?
God, there's no way. There's no fucking way.
I don't think so. There's no way he could have sat, I think he must have sat at a typewriter for 3 or 4 hours on a morning and then went through his routine. If he tried writing after the stuff he claims to have taken, I don't know.
He was a beast if he could do that. And he has influenced so many people. But I think that, you know, people kind of get, or they buy into the bullshit a little bit too much.
Oh, yeah.
He was a joker. He really was.
I don't think he wrote drunk. I think all of the writers that we talk about wrote most of their stuff sober and were just out of the rest of the time.
Yeah. I write most of mine hungover, but that's my process.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Hell, if it works, it works.
Exactly. Well, that's what I've said. There's no right answer. Is that everyone's got their own ideas and their own processes. You know, what works for William Burroughs probably didn't work for Hemingway. It's up to you at the end, isn't it? Like, whatever works for you is the right way to do it.
Yeah, man. It's absolute truth. There is no right. There is no set path or anything like that. It's just, go out there and kick ass and be true to yourself. It's the main thing. Be yourself. I think you gotta have. I mean, wouldn't you say? Like, I don't know, man. But wouldn't you say it does take some life experience really to write a good page. I mean, honestly, I don't see too many, you know.
I see all these, like, a lot of people getting published at 19 or 20, and I just think, well, what can you possibly have to say? You know, what
I agree.
Are you talking about being 14? Who cares about that? I don't know. I don't understand what those books would be about.
I don't know, but there are some who are doing it, you know. I mean, more power to them, but I just can't imagine. I think I think writers are like wine, man. We get better with time, you know.
Yeah, that's the hope anyway. That's the plan. God, imagine if we get any better in 20 years. Unbelievable. Can you imagine being 20
years
better?
I know. If I live till I'm like 100, I might actually get good. That's what I'm looking for.
Well, it's rare that it goes either way. I mean, Bret Easton Ellis got published at 20, I think, didn't he? And but he kind of just got consecutively worse, I think, with each book. I mean, American Psycho is a great book. I love that book, but that was sort of 27 and he peaked, and after that he didn't really write anything to match it, did he? But most writers, like you say, I think get better as they go on. So, I mean, Bukowski, like we keep coming back to, was 40 before he started with Post Office. So I think we're lucky in that respect that with what we do, it's the one thing where age probably helps rather than hinders you. Not like in sports or in movies where those things times work against you. I think it's probably on our side. In a sense, well, I think we're quite lucky
in that. Oh, definitely, man. With the style. Well, you have a style, but me is like the art of no style.
you see my wardrobe. I haven't got style. Believe me.
Oh shit, man. You know, that's not what Axl Rose is going to say. Maybe, you know, who knows? If you guys
well,
can get the copy. Get
if
the
there's
copy.
Anybody who's in a bad position to talk about style, I'm pretty confident it's Axl Rose. With his Lycra shorts.
He looks rough.
Yeah.
Really rough.
He had dreadlocks, ginger dreadlocks, the last time I saw him. It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
he does the whole dreadlock thing. It's scary.
It's really scary, man.
Yeah, but
do
no.
You think,
we'll let him off, because he wrote Welcome to the Jungle, so...
I love Guns N' Roses. That's an absolute
truth. Me too.
That was my, you know... But then again, that was, you know, the kids now are like, you know... That's when I had the tape and would wear it out. I had a Sony Walkman. And
had
to go buy one
too.
every so many months because, you know, that was a good old days.
Now, kids today, I think, would be petrified. If you watch old footage of Guns N' Roses, like when he jumps into the crowd at St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
So if that band was happening now, people would be terrified. Of an age to be into them while that was happening. But even when I look back now, it's like, whoa. You kind of forget how extreme they were, really.
Well, they were causing... I mean, this is the truth. When they were originally touring, like when they did the tour with Metallica, they had riots. They had... I mean, it was dangerous. The music was not... You know, art is not safe. That's the number one thing I think I'll always say. And if it is, it's not worth anything. But, you know, they really were a dangerous band. It wasn't a joke. I mean, they were insane. And, I mean, Axl, any of them would admit, God. And, you know, they're lucky. A lot of them are lucky to be alive because they partied. That's an understatement, but they partied. You know,
that's kind of the thing that I love about him as well. Is I mean, like I know I've joked about him, but I love the fact that he did what he wanted and he didn't really care, you know, whether it was the right thing or the wrong thing, whether he was going to get in trouble, whether he didn't. He did whatever he wanted at the time and wanted to do it. And I think I love Neil Young for that as well. Going back, I know I mentioned Neil Young a couple of times, but Neil Young would release an album and people would be like, "You can't release that. It's going to be a commercial failure." And he's like, "Well, I don't care," and not in a cool way. He just didn't. Care, you know what his response to it would be. He did what he wanted, and Axl Rose.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what's lacking now in music. Well, probably in all our music, film, you know, writing, is people that don't listen to the outside noise and only do what you want to do. Don't listen to what anybody else tells you.
Definitely, man. That's the only thing. That's one thing I completely love about rock. I'll be a rock fan. And, you know, I was also a punk and all that. But, I mean, I just love rock and roll. And I just love the mentality. I was probably influenced by just as many songwriters as I was, authors, to be honest with you. Because, I mean, anybody knows my one of my biggest influences is Lemmy Kilmister. So, I don't know. I got to get more shit than that one. But I like the way he, conducted himself. He was, just full throttle kind of person all the way till the end. And I admire that, to be yourself and not really give a shit what other people think is admirable. Not to be a jerk, but just to be you.
Yeah,
that's
a good point. You can kind of go too far with it in the wrong way. But generally, if it's just integrity to yourself, then I think that's almost always a good thing.
Oh yeah, man. You don't have to be. I do not understand people who get on the ego trip. Oh, I kind of understand it. But it always seems like the people who have the less talent are the ones on the true ego trip.
Yeah.
Nowadays is a great example. Quite a few celebrities, you look back at the people that definitely the bands and stuff that we were talking about. I mean, they had a reason to have an ego, God, now some people, some music, not to go off on a tangent about music, but how do you feel about modern music, man? Are you listening to more current stuff or more older stuff?
No, older stuff. There's some good bands out there. You've got to work to find them. But then even then, they're only kind of doing what's gone before. There's a couple of bands. I can't remember who put them up. Somebody put a band up on social media the other day, and I listened to them. I'll not say the band's name, because we're getting sued by enough people as it is. But the band, they were pretty good, but I just thought, if I really want this kind of music, I've only got to go to Bruce Springsteen. It just sounds like Springsteen. You know what I mean? So there's some good bands, but there's no great bands. I think that's over now. They were really great bands to finish.
Yeah, you really have to dig for music. Whereas I think more back, especially my day too, is that it was there in abundance, where not so much now. You really have to search for stuff,
You do.
Originality is very hard to find now. It really is.
I think it's all being done, hasn't it? And I think they find it hard to shock people now, don't they? It's kind of like, if you have a pink mohawk, who's that going to shock, really? If you swear on TV, who's really bothered? Mm-hmm. Everybody swears on TV. It's kind of hard to shock and offend people now.
It is. It fucking is, man. It's hard to do anything original, so just do the best you can now.
Yeah.
The thing, to be honest.
Who is your favorite band?
My favorite band?
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's the hardest thing, man. Who's a DJ?
I don't want people to ask me that question either.
That drives me crazy, because, I love metal, but I also love classical music, and I love punk, and, quick grouping of bands. I can't give one, but definitely Guns N' Roses, definitely Motorhead, Dropkick Murphys, people like that. Just people I feel, I like anybody who's real, man. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I love folk music, too. When you talk about Dylan, Jesus Christ, the band, I love too. So it's like, anybody who's just real, that's all it takes for me. And I just dig it.
We talk about bands that we don't like, that's the issue, isn't it? Who are some rubbish bands that we don't like? Who else can we upset?
Oh, God. Not really bands. So much as pop music. These like Disney Channel kids that came out, and you think, God, you're going they're gonna burn out so bad.
Really
and yet
quick.
They're so popular. But it's only for a second. That's always been around. Pop music's always been around.
Yeah.
I don't hate anything. If I like it, I like it. I don't give a damn who it is, But people like the Beatles or like the Stones, I like them both. So,
yeah, I know. Why have you got to pick? Who says I have to pick? I like them both, exactly.
That's exactly it, man. Just be you. That's the whole thing with anything in life. I think people are just scared to be themselves, man. But,
I think, it's all kind of curious, isn't it? If the record company is feeding you, paying you your money, and if you upset them, they're going to stop paying you that money, then people tend to toe the line now. Because it's either that or they're working in the supermarket.
Well, that's true. You can't blame them. You can't blame them, man. It's definitely a tough time. God, music and business is in the shitter anyway. It's not what it used to be when you look at people that, used to be concert. But then again, look at the prices of everything. Like, Jesus Christ, man. Just going to a show, it's like, I remember, I mean, even talk about Guns N' Roses, because I'm definitely a lot older. Guns N' Roses, when they toured, the original tour, when they were, like, opening for people like Aerosmith and shit, it wasn't really as outrageous as it is now. Just to get a seat to see somebody, you know? It's like, and that's the thing. It's I don't know.
It's costly. Like,
you need to get out.
I just think kids now don't care, do they? They don't really care about that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't have to. I used to get the bus to the record shop on a Saturday morning to buy my band's favourite album, and then I'd be on the way back reading through the liner notes and checking the lyrics, and then I would put it on when I got home. And it was a whole commitment.
Yeah.
You know, half a day's work to get the album. Nowadays, kids just click a button and it's there, you know, and then by 4 o'clock that afternoon, they've forgotten about it and they're onto something else. It's just become disposable, hasn't it? I mean, that's the internet's pretty much ruined music, to be honest.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. I think the internet is it's a benefit when it comes, I think, to pushing your work out there, but there's a lot of setbacks. There's a lot of bad with it, too, because it just kind of, I don't know, kids don't even want to leave the house, but then again, the way the world is, don't you understand?
Yeah, that might be a
but
good idea.
Like,
I've been playing with that myself.
Yeah, especially the way the world is, but I mean, it's just like it's just distancing people even more. Where it was a big thing to get with your buddies and go to a fucking concert and get out and do shit, you know, I think.
Yeah.
That's why I think it scares me with writing sometimes when you see how people are getting kind of, so because, I mean, that's my thing, you know, get out and live. And now it's like stay home and be attached to the computer.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing as well. I mean, it's not like we're not looking for bands. I mean, I'm always on the lookout for a good new band, and it's not like I'm sitting there going, oh, everything's rubbish now, I don't want to know. I do want to know. If there's a good band out there, I just want to hear it. But there's just nobody out there. Well, I think if I was 15, who would be the band that changed my life now? Who would be the band that changed the way I dressed and the way I walked and the way I thought about the world? And there isn't one for me, is there? There's nobody that's going to stop you dead in your tracks at 15 and define who you think you are as a person. There's nothing like that out there, not that I can see.
Definitely, man. So, man, I'm going to ask, once again, pardon my weird questions. I'm not a really interviewer, man, but...
That's all right.
Overall, with your... What do you hope to accomplish, like, with your legacy of your writing? Like, where do you really want to see it going? Your best case scenario?
The next thing this year is, I mean, the books, the one that just came out is kind of going to be it for a little while. I haven't really submitted anything else because the next plan... really is to finish up a novel and send it to an agent. The plan really is for this year is to get a literary agent and then pass on from there and then try and get towards the bigger publishers. In terms of what I want to achieve with it, it's really just to write all the books that I feel I've got within me. You know, if I've got five ideas for a book, for five different books, I just want to be able to write those five books to the best of my ability. I don't see the point in doing something unless you're trying, it sounds pretentious, but unless you're trying to be great at it, I don't really see the point in getting started. So, I've set that goal where I want to be the best writer that I can be. But really, as long as I've said everything that I feel I need to say, you know, it's up to the world. It's how the world, he says. It's up to anybody that's interested to decide how good it is. As long as I've got it written, I'll be happy with that.
Well, it's only going further, man, with you. Your ability is incredible. And I don't just say that just because you're on here. I'm just saying because I am, like I said, I'm a fan of your work, man. I admire it, man. I admire people that are fucking real and, you know, kick ass, and it does, man. It's gonna go. It's gonna keep going because you're consistent, man. You don't write shit consistent. You know?
I appreciate it. I do. I do really appreciate it, and not just what you're saying, but the fact that you do these things as well, like this show. It's much respect to you because it's given people a voice and a chance to get out there, and that's what's needed. So, you know, I've got a lot of respect for the fact that you do that, and you taking time to talk to me about my writing is probably more than I ever thought I would achieve when I set out. So, you know, it's pretty humbling, and I am very grateful.
Well, I'm just grateful you agreed to do it, man, because, I mean, like I said, when I started, I didn't want people get a misconception. Sometimes you listen to me when I talk to my friends and stuff like that, and who all write. But it's just, I just want it kind of a more loose feel. I've seen some, I mean, there's plenty of different shows that have writers on, but I just like to, you know, let writers be themselves, actually show the person beyond the page, not just ask the same stock
definitely.
Questions, you know, because
it's cool as
we're
well,
human.
I think conversations are weird, but I've done some interviews where they'll ask you a question and you answer it, and then they just ask you the next question. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, well, why did you ask? If we're not going to expand on it and then we're not going to talk about it, then I don't understand. You know, you're not gaining any insight. It's just, you know, question, answer, question, answer, question, answer. And it's, you know, and then they always ask the questions like, why do you write? What do you mean, why do I write? You know, why does anybody do anything? Kind of, you know, get some good get some good questions. Why do you ask questions? You know, why? Well, I don't understand that at the time, but it's just having a conversation.
Yeah.
I think you get to dig a lot deeper.
That's the vibe I wanted with the show. Honestly, it's where things will continue in, man. I do really appreciate you coming on, and, you know,
I
hope I do
you
justice to a degree, man, because, like I said, Stephen Story has a lot of great books out there, and took them all up. You can find them through Weasel Press, Alien Buddha Press, oh, you also have something out, don't you? Yeah, you have another book course out with Devil, isn't it Devil House?
Yeah, so four of them are on publishers and on Amazon, and the one with Devil House Press is the short story collection we've mentioned, 4 PM in Los Angeles, which is, I think, directly available from Devil House Press, the website of the publisher. I don't think it's available anywhere else.
Yeah.
It was an exclusive deal with them. So if anybody was wanting that, it's just, I think the website is just devilhousepress.org, I believe, and they can pick it up from there.
Yeah, definitely, and get them, because you are an incredible writer. Anybody that listens to this will know that. And they don't need me telling them, but, you know, I can't say that enough, man.
I appreciate
And I really... Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I'm just saying I appreciate you telling them. They probably wouldn't believe me if I told them. It means more coming from you.
Shit. I just think it's the only thing I got going for me, man. I have a decent voice, and I can sound serious when I want to. This is going to shock anybody who listens to the show. But I promise, you know, this is a serious episode, but yeah. And I do hope, man, somewhere, you know, whenever you got a book out or anything else, you'll definitely come back on again, man, because I would really appreciate it. Because it would be great to have you back on here. Because I hope you had a good time.
I've had a really good time. I have really enjoyed it. And if Axl Rose called you, be sure to send him, my way. I'll deal with him.
Okay. Well, yeah, like I said, you can take Axl, I'll take Lars.
that's a deal. And that's recorded.
Although if the whole band shows
I'll
up, I might be in trouble.
Yeah, well, we can take them. We can take them.
Yeah, there you go, man.
I'm not scared of anyone.
Well, anything else you'd like to add and say to your readers out there, man, that are buying these books because they're incredible?
I joke about it quite a lot, but it does really mean a lot to me that people are buying these books and taking their time, not just to read them, but to get in touch and tell me how much they've liked them, you know. So, all joking aside, I am very thankful for that. And again to you, John, for this, and for all your kind words. I do appreciate it.
Hey, man, I appreciate it, and I appreciate you reading my work as well.
Yeah. People should check out John's stuff. If they're only listening to this, he's probably too nice a guy to big himself up, but so I'll do it. Read John's stuff, because John's a cool writer.
No,
and
damn,
I,
man. That's the biggest compliment I can have, man. Because when you get it from people you respect, that's what means everything, man.
Yeah, that's what
it really does.
It really does. I mean, as much as we joke, it is a cool thing to have people get in touch. So I do really appreciate it. You know, keep it up, and I'll try to do too.
All right, man, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap the show up, man. Steven, I want to thank you so much, man, for doing this.
Thank you.
And thank all our listeners, too, out there, man. Hopefully we can keep getting people on, and definitely have Steven back on again. I'm going to hold you to it, man.
I'd love to.
All right, man. We're
going
to sign off, and I appreciate it. Thank you very much, Steven.
I appreciate it. Thanks, man.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, cheers, man. Bye-bye.
Bye, man. All right, folks, this is the end of the episode. I really appreciate y'all for listening. And once again, I want to thank my my special guest, Stephen, who, like I said, pick up all his books. You can find them easily on Amazon and through the publishers. Check him out on Facebook. And until next time, I am John Patrick Robbins. Y'all stay crazy, and thank you for listening to Off the Wagon.